Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Selective Hearing. I'm your host, Julie DeMar, and this week I am here with very special guest, Tamara Hurl. We are going to talk about something that I honestly just learned about, and that is expressive therapy. Before we get into everything, I just want to say if you're at work or if you're at the gym or if you are listening to me when you're not supposed to in those cubicles, please turn your speakers up because this is a conversation that you absolutely do not want to miss. Tamara, thank you for being here with me today.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you so much for inviting me. I'm honored to be here.
I'm so excited to like get into this and learn more about it. I know you shared so much during the pre-show with me, but like I can't wait to learn with the audience today. And to even ask you some personal questions for myself, because I feel like I might have been practicing expressive therapy over the years and just didn't know it until today. So I'm going to give you the floor and let you share how you got started on this journey with the audience.
Well, getting started on this journey was very interesting because when I, back in the dinosaur days, when I was in high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do when I grew up. So I just kind of, I got out of school and got married really young and was a young mother. And then I just always had this urge to do something more. So I started taking some art classes, and I was talking to somebody about wanting to get some kind of an education. And they said, a fellow student in this watercolor class said, "Oh, have you ever heard of art therapy?" And I'm like, "No, what's that?" Because we didn't even have art in our high school. Our school was so small. So I never had any art until I decided, "Oh, I want to be an art therapist. That sounds really cool." So I went to a university that was about 90 minutes away from where I lived and started getting training. Well, I started out as an art teacher, actually, because I needed to get a bachelor's degree first, and I got that. And about the time that I was finishing up my bachelor's degree, I found this program. It was called the Kansas Arts Resource Training System, because at that point I was living in Kansas, and it was all about expressive arts. So I learned about movement and music and storytelling and puppetry and all kinds of interesting things, and I loved them all. I mean, visual art is my main focus, but I loved all of these other modalities as well. And I was just so excited. And so ever since I learned about them through that program, I've incorporated them into my work as a therapist and now as a coach. I still incorporate them into my work. There's different learning styles. There's auditory, kinesthetic, and I don't remember what the other one is right now, but so kinesthetic, you learn by doing things. Auditory, you learn, oh, visual is the other one. And some people learn by watching, some people learn by doing, some people learn by listening. And so when you use expressive arts and expressive modalities, you can tap into all the different learning styles that people have. And so I love them because of that. And I also love them because there are so many things that can't be expressed through words. And so if I can make a sound, you know, the sound of anger. Of course, that one, I think we kind of know what that one sounds like. But what about the sound of sadness? You know, if it wasn't the sound of someone crying, what would that be? And what would sadness look like if you just used it abstract lines or shapes? And how do you hold your body when you're sad as compared to when you're happy? And just being able to explore emotions and blocks and barriers and even tap into our strong and healthy parts is wonderful when we can use the expressive arts to do that.
So can I share a little bit with you
Oh, please.
that I was like, as I was building out your package and trying to like come up with questions, I was like having these, I don't know, flashbacks, if you will, to different stages in my life where like I was exploring music. Like I played the cello, I played the violin, I played the piano. I could never learn how to read a music, but people would play notes and I would mimic that. I would listen and then I would play it back. So I never learned how to like read music, but if you play something, I can hear it and repeat it, or I could watch what you were doing and then I can play it back that way. I did dance, I did there was a theater. I did all these things. I used to write a lot. I still write a lot, but I used to write a lot and things like that. And then as I grew into an adult, it took on the form of me being a model and an actress. And then I went back to film school and I became a producer and a writer and a director in that way. And then I came into producing this show, which has an artistic flair to it when I'm in the creative process of making the videos for YouTube or the reels, or I guess like the show posters and the social media posts and things like that, and applying my creativity and thoughts to things in that way. And I'm learning this as I go, but even as I was like getting ready to come here with you today, I was learning like, wow, I'm gonna ask, have I been practicing expressive therapy like my entire life and just didn't know it? Like, because I've always been drawn to letting the arts be a way of being an outlet for me, or being a way for me to find my voice, because I came from a situation where I didn't have one for a long time. So yeah, I thought I would share that with you and ask the question, am I doing that without even knowing?
Yes, I th the answer is yes. You know, if you would have said I played my cello because I wanted to be a star and wanted to be recognized for my skills, which and people can do that and also be using it as a form of self-expression. And when I heard you say that you used it all those different modalities as a way to find your voice, then the answer is definitely yes. You have been using expressive arts as a tool for self-expression, and possibly even we use it for healing too. And of course, when you work with a therapist who is trained in that modality, it's a little might be a little different. I don't know exactly how you were doing it, but it's wonderful that you were doing that. Congratulations, and I'm glad it has supported you, and that you're continuing it into adulthood. And when we do it as intentionally. Like, and especially if you're working with a professional who's trained as a facilitator in whatever modality. And by the way, I love drama. Psychodrama is so powerful. And that your practitioner, if you're working with a practitioner, will, you know, consciously guide you to, let's say that a person was feeling very sad and they just couldn't break out of that sadness. And if I were doing movement with that person, I might have them try to tap into a moment in time when they felt happy, when they felt that joy. And so I would have them embody both first the sadness and then the happiness or the joy. And then I might also have them, I like to sort of do a thing like statues where like, I'm your statue, so that they can see it from outside of themselves. So I'm your statue, pose me in a position that represents sadness, and then pose me in a position that represents joy, and then they can see the difference. And sometimes I have people actually move from one to the other, and they can get deep awareness just by seeing what is the transition. Because sometimes people, they're like, I don't know how to get from sadness to joy. But if they embody it and move through it with their body, then they can get insights into first steps that they can take.
That makes me think about my time in modern dance.
Yeah, tell us about that.
I couldn't be a ballerina. I didn't have the toes for it, or so I don't know. I find myself being able to move better in situations where I don't have to think about it, or it's not extremely, you know, choreographed or structured. And I spent a brief amount of time in modern dance even, and it was like, oh, I remember the instructor saying, "Be a tree," and you just. And now be the leaves. And, you know, you just, everything was kind of more feeling based, the things that we were doing and the movements that we were practicing. And that felt really good too, versus me being, you know, getting ready to be put on for the Nutcracker. So that definitely was something else that I've explored in my years as well.
That's awesome. What a beautiful experience you had. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. So, can you kind of describe the scope of like expressive therapy and how it kind of sets itself apart from like our conventional talk therapies and things like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, so the scope is very broad. I mean, and there's other things that I haven't even talked about, like poetry therapy is another, I think there might be a different name for it, a formal name. And so the scope is very broad, and it's really interesting to see how that plays out and the way that it's different than talk therapy. I mean, words definitely have their place, because after I do any kind of expressive modality with someone, I ask them to talk about the experience, or I might have them draw about it and then talk about both the drawing and the movement. And the word, what the words do is to help integrate it into the person's awareness, because a person can get an incredible insight. Like, let's say I can think of a time when someone wanted to, they were exploring balance and talking about how out of balance their life felt. So I took them out on our property, our 9 acres that we have, and there's a couple of places where there's a log that has fallen across the path and it's elevated off of the ground. So it's sort of like being on a little tightrope, only, a broader tightrope, wider tightrope, but still it can feel kind of scary. It's interesting to me. Even we had a board across the creek that runs through our property, there was only like 6 inches between the board and the water, but it felt, the board was only about maybe 10 inches wide, and it felt really scary to that person because she could tell that, that there wasn't solid ground beneath her. Anyway, so those experiences of being in nature can really help a person just get experience something from a different perspective, because it's like when you're in your head thinking about something, it's completely different. When you're talking about it, it's completely different. When you're experiencing it, it just brings up a new awareness. And then writing about it still has a place, though, because let's say that the person that, well, like the person that felt scared walking across the board, it helped her. Then she was talking about and journaling about other, this fear that she had, and it just helped her realize that, oh, I think she said, I thought I had conquered that, but obviously there was still another lesson for her to learn. And sometimes the expressive modalities can help someone take something that they've talked about in talk therapy, and either they didn't get resolution or they got partial resolution and they needed more. And that the expressive arts then can help them have a deeper and different experience. And that way it can help them integrate it. So, like if the person, I'm trying to think of an example, like, oh, like if a person, there was one lady who was getting ready to leave her steady, stable corporate job and break out on her own. And she spent some time in nature and got guidance from nature to just take a leap of faith and try something new. And she was watching a bird, and she saw this bird leapt from this branch that was solid and still, and then it leapt onto this branch that was bobbing up and down, and then it went back to the stable branch. And she was, at first she was like, I didn't really see anything. All I saw was this bird. And I said, well, tell me what it was doing. So then she told me, and then, I helped her realize, oh, that was a metaphor that the universe was saying, hey, you can go back and forth from your stable thing to your that what feels unstable and unsteady, and then come back again. So getting that awareness in the moment was something, but then taking it back into her life and really applying that, just remembering, oh yeah, if this feels unsteady, I can, maybe I want to have both. Maybe I want to have, maybe I don't want to walk away completely from my steady corporate job. Maybe I want to go part-time there so I can do the thing that feels unstable, being out on my own. And I think, just talking about, if she was talking about that in talk therapy, she might have had an awareness of it, but actually seeing it in nature and just witnessing that and seeing it as a message from the universe really helped her just anchor it in a different way.
It's funny how that works. How like you'll see something or you'll feel something or like that kind of helps guide you through these decisions. And yeah, I'm learning now as I go through my own thing to pay attention to those things and like really lean on it and be like, okay, I see you, I hear you, everything's gonna be all right. So I kind of want to talk about like some of the advantages from your experience that people gain from engaging in this therapy.
That's a great question. And I think one of the advantages is that people realize, I mean, we get it's I feel like we have this team of divine guides that are around us or with us all the time. And sometimes I think the universe just helps us. I mean, it just comes up and we may not even be aware that, or maybe we didn't ask for support. And when we ask intentionally and say, I need help with this thing, then the advantage of that is that a person knows, you know what, the universe has my back. I'm not alone. I could, even though nobody else in my life seems to understand this. The universe does. The universe has my back. The universe is going to help me get what I need. So that's one advantage, just knowing that you're not alone, especially if you ask a question like, instead of saying, gosh, I really need money for this project, and kind of expecting the universe to just provide it. And instead to ask something like, how can I align with the universe to co-create the resources that I need? So then it's like we can feel more empowered because we know that we can manifest. I want the universe to co-create with me because the universe is a lot more powerful than I am. So I want the universe to co-create with me. So I think that's helpful. Another thing that I really love about this doing this work is that all of these different modalities, the expressive arts and these modalities, can help us work through our unhealed trauma. And you know, sometimes we don't want to look at that stuff. Sometimes it's not really fun to look at. And what I've noticed with my clients is that when it's not resolved, it keeps coming back. The universe will go, oh, okay, so Tamara needs to learn this lesson about trusting other women. So something, you know, some kind of experience comes into my path, and then I get to work through it. And so that can be challenging at times when we have to work through our past trauma. And a good way to look at trauma, if you can, you know, once you've gotten through the painful parts of it, and I don't want to minimize anyone's trauma because, you know, some of the things are just so hard. I get that. And when we've come to the point where we're healed enough that we can have some distance and it's not quite so painful, then we can harvest the wisdom from that and say, why, you know, why did I experience that? Of all the things that could have happened to me, why did I? Like, I'm working with somebody right now who's going through a horrific grieving process. And the advantage of doing this work is that maybe this is part of what your new purpose will be, is to help other people who have gone through this. So kind of an advantage of doing this work can be to help you find the silver lining and make more peace with it, and then use it as fuel for creating change in the world.
I agree with that so much because that's my experience. It was like all this hard stuff that I was like going through, reliving, you know, trying to overcome. And as I was going through the process, I found that a big part of my healing was coming from me helping other people heal too. So here we are with selective hearing. Look.
Right. And yeah, and you know, once we're able to heal our trauma as much as we can, and then it creates more space for our like dormant potential to emerge. I have this energy work process that I've created and started doing, and I noticed when I started doing it with people that their trauma would start coming up, and I wasn't sure why at first, but then I discovered that's why, because it creates more space for the potential that's encoded in our DNA and it's just been dormant to wake up. And I started doing research about it too. Well, actually, science has proven now that there is a fourth strand of DNA. They actually found some way to photograph it or take a picture of it somehow, which I thought was cool because some people say that there are 12 strands and maybe even more. But I still, there's a part of me that's like, I want to know, you know, I need proof. So I started researching caterpillars, and I found a scientific site that said within the caterpillar's DNA is the potential for wings. But at that stage in its evolution, that just hasn't been switched on yet. And I thought, well, if it can happen for caterpillars, it can happen for humans too. It makes perfect sense to me.
That just brought up something from not that long ago, because you are the second guest to specifically reference caterpillars. A few months ago, I had a guest and she said she was speaking in the context of change. And she said that she was speaking about how a caterpillar goes into its cocoon and it stays there for a period of time. And as it's, you know, forming the wings and, you know, going through this growth stage, it can get really uncomfortable in there. The space becomes very restrictive. And then finally, it emerges, this big, beautiful being. And she said one thing for everyone to understand in those moments of being uncomfortable and in those moments of growth and, you know, trying to move out of this restrictive space or the space that has become restrictive and no longer serves you is that when you come out of it, you've never seen a butterfly return to a cocoon.
Oh.
So she was saying, you don't do that either. Don't try to return to a space that doesn't probably butcher in this people. She was a lot more poetic with it, but she just don't return to a space that you can no longer fit into.
I think you did a great job of explaining that. And yeah, that makes so much sense. Right. Yeah, it's sort of like you can't, sometimes people say, oh, I can't unsee that. Well, yeah, or so maybe we could say, I can't unbe that. Now that I've become a butterpiller or a butterfly, butterpiller, that's a new word. Butterfly, can't go back to being a caterpillar. Yeah.
Embrace those wings. Yeah, I was like, that was a beautiful thing. And I was like, and then it made me like really like butterflies even more because I was like, wow, yeah. They go through this stage, this growth stage that I think we can all relate to. And like, there's just these moments where things are very uncomfortable and trying and triggering, and you start, feeling small in certain areas because you're outgrowing them and you don't necessarily know what to do or how to get out of it just yet. And yeah, it's a trying and challenging, but also very rewarding and beautiful process, if all that makes sense to everybody listening today.
Well, it makes sense to me, and I bet it will make sense to the listeners as well.
I'd like to talk about, since we are going there, like if you wouldn't mind sharing, like when you've worked with people who are triggering when they're starting to express their emotions, and how are some things, or what are some things that you help them, how you help them kind of move through these emotions?
That's a great question. And there are a lot of different tools. Well, one thing that I think most people don't realize is that a lot of the time we are in a state in that fight or flight state. You've probably heard people talk about that, right? And we get so used to living in that. Let's say that if we rank it from on a scale of 1 to 10, like 10 would be like, I'm totally having an emotional meltdown. Well, a lot of times we go around in being at a level 5 or 6, and we don't even realize that we're that triggered, that activated, that anxious, because we're just so used to it, because we've lived life that way. And so when we're in that heightened state, that level of anxiety, it might just take one small thing that would just really flip us over, and just be then it makes the emotions be too much to bear. So first of all, I teach people how to just be aware of what level of anxiety they're at, and what level, what's your norm, what do you normally operate at, and let's see if we can take that down so that if something happens, like let's get you to where your norm is a level 3 instead of a level 6, and that way you won't get activated to a point where it's not manageable so often. And if you get activated, you can bring yourself back down to a more state of calmness more quickly. And one of the ways that I teach people how to get out of that fight or flight mode is through time in nature. It's very healing. Just being in nature, the trees, when they're, I think it's just when, I don't know if this happens in the winter or not, I'll have to check it out, but they give off a substance that's called phytoncides. And it actually, there's been research done that shows that it lowers that level, that fight or flight level, so that you're more calm and at ease. So just being in nature, not even doing anything, and even looking at pictures of nature, or looking out the window at nature, they've done research about that. That can help. So just being connected with nature can be helpful. And then when you engage mindfully with nature, that helps even more. So there's a practice in forest therapy that's called the pleasure of presence. And you go out in nature, and you get as just calm and centered as you can, and you try to just let go of all of the anxieties about what has happened in the past, or your grocery list and all those to-do things. Try to just put those, leave those in your backpack, or leave them in the car, or leave them at home, and really be present in the moment and notice, what am I seeing with my eyes, and what am I hearing, and try to listen to sounds that are very subtle as well as the louder ones, and just using all of your senses. And that can really switch you out of that active, anxious state of being into a more calm state of being. That can really help. So forest therapy and mindful time in nature is one thing. Some people, and when you were talking about playing your instruments, some people find that doing something like that, where you really get engrossed in, they call it being in a flow state, where you can really lose track of time because you're just really in the moment. So it could be anything like cooking, or dancing, or moving, or writing, or Some people like to do it through sports. Those things can help where you can just get out of your head. And part of it is too just breathing, just taking nice deep breaths can really help and get you out of that shallow breathing that we get into a habit of doing, and really breathing deeply, and even just kind of trying to focus on your heart instead of your head. You can even just imagine dropping your awareness down from your head into your heart, and that can really help to manage emotions. And when I'm doing, there's a process that I do called parts work that involves, it's not really expressive arts, so it's not that range of modalities, but it is a very powerful tool for helping people manage emotions. And it's like, let's say that person is feeling like maybe they a memory, something happened and it triggered a childhood memory, and they're feeling really upset about it. What I have people do in that moment is just to picture that child part, see where they're feeling the emotion, where does it feel like it's coming from, in or around their body, and just picture it. Sometimes I'll say, just invite, ask that part if they'll dial, if they could just soften or dial back their emotions a little bit so that it's not so overwhelming for you. And after you build trust with your internal parts, they're usually willing to do that, and just creating, asking them to dial back, or even asking the person to imagine that they're taking a few steps back. That can help create some distance, and so that the emotions don't feel so overwhelming.
Can I share with you my relationship with water?
Oh, please.
So, I like to swim, like, absolutely love to swim. But I live in Michigan. So, our time in the water outdoors is very limited. But as soon as we start getting that break in the weather and that great outdoor time, I like to swim and I like to float. And I've noticed this about me more recently too. I will float. And when I just float and lay there in the water, I disconnect from everything around me. And the only thing I hear is the sounds of the water and whatever is going outside. And I completely, every time I swim, I feel recharged. And I just said this to my best friend the other day. I was like, girl, every time, because I went swimming, but I had to go indoors because it's cold. But after I came back, I was like, I went swimming. I was like, I don't know if I ever told you how water makes me feel. And she was like, yeah, you told me like you feel like a recharge or something whenever you swim. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, but it was really sunny outside. It was really nice that day. So the sun was coming into the pool area. It was really bright. And when I closed my eyes and I just started floating, I actually felt like I was like outside in a lake or in the ocean or something. And I felt so good that I literally didn't realize how long I was there. And when I left, I was just like, oh, it's gonna be a good day. Like that's how I got in the car. Like it was like there, like whatever, it was already like a good day. But I was like, if anything happens today, like I just felt so good and so free and so removed from anything that could possibly happen in a day. And I even canceled work that day. I just came home and chilled. Me and my kid hung out. It was a really beautiful day.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, so you're doing what we were just talking about, where I said, lowering that level of anxiety, and creating more calmness, so that if some you said if anything happens today, you would have been able to handle it because you had lowered your fight or flight mode. You probably weren't even in fight or flight mode anymore. You were in what they call rest and digest mode, so that you could handle anything that came your way. And that's a beautiful example of that. And I love that it was the water element that did that for you, and that experience of just floating, just letting go and being held by the water. And that's, I think that's kind of what happens with forest therapy too, or nature immersion, is that you can. I'm looking out my window at the trees, and I've had people, and I've done this myself, imagine that you're a tree, and just really feel your roots sinking deep into the ground. And it just creates a different experience for you when you get connected to, or in a case of a tree, a person could lean their back against the tree and let the tree support them, and you were letting the water support you. It makes me think of those, have you ever heard of those float tanks that are available? Right. So you just created your own float tank experience and probably didn't have to pay nearly as much as you would have.
I'm so good at floating. I actually want to try one of those float tanks one day. I said I was going to do it a while ago. I still haven't got around to it because when I go to the pool or when the summer's here and I'm outside, I don't know how I can do it, but I can just do it. Like I can float so good that it's just, and I just lay there. And the lakes and the ocean are a lot more fun because they kind of You just let
Waves.
go and the waves just kind of move you. But I'll take the swimming pool too. It's like
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you gifted yourself with that experience and that you continue to do so.
Can I ask you a question about nature that it
Course.
just popped up in my mind, and I got this from reality TV, but I'm addicted to this show called 90 Day Fiance, and there's a girl on there who loves nature, and she when she gets really upset, she hugs trees. And she will cry and she will hug a tree. She's done it in a lot of different episodes. And she said that she started doing that when she was a little girl. And she does it all the time because it's reality TV, so there's a lot of conflict. So I think she's always stressed. And whenever she's like super stressed, she goes out and she does that. So what exactly is she doing? And this is for me, everybody, but if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, you know who I'm talking about. So this could be for you too, but
That's
I
right. Well,
do.
it could be for anyone, really. So,
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what's happening, but I would guess that she's probably connecting with the consciousness of the tree. And people might think that's weird, but I remember one time I was doing a workshop or something, and I think I was with some kids, and I said, okay, let's pretend like we're rocks. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. And I thought, what does that even mean? But I did it anyway. And so I kind of curled up into a fetal position and I was on the floor. And even though I wasn't actually touching, well, the floor was made out of concrete, so maybe it had a little bit of rock in it. But I noticed that my consciousness shifted because pretty soon the kind of the sounds of the room faded away. And I just felt a shift into a different state of consciousness because I didn't really care about things and it felt like time slowed down. So I feel like we can tap into the consciousness because I, and people might think I'm crazy. I'm sure they do. I know people have, because I believe that trees have consciousness, so do rocks, And so I would guess that she's tapping into the consciousness of the tree, and the tree is just, kind of holding her and being witness to her pain and just kind of letting her know, it's okay. Things are going to be all right. That would be my guess of what she's doing.
What made me think about that is because when you were just talking about trees earlier in the episode, and I was like, I wonder if that ties into why she, when she, it just popped in my head, like, why, when she's so upset, she does that. And I believe that, like, everything that lives has a consciousness, like, everything that's living, no matter if it can talk back to you or not, the way we speak, because we look at how we lean on animals, or even like I do this when it's nice outside. I go outside. I hate shoes, everybody. So in the summertime, I wear the bare minimum of shoes, and that's like a flip-flop or something. Like, I wear enough shoe to be allowed in public spaces. It's because I like to take my shoes off and walk around on the ground. And I found out I didn't even know that was like grounding until I got on this journey. But I will literally be outside with my feet on the ground because I feel recharged and better after I do that. And my kids do it too because they watch me do it so much.
Wonderful. That's a great practice. I'm glad that you do it, and I'm glad that your children are doing it as well.
I had no idea, everybody, about like the science behind us and our shoes and the things that disconnect us from the earth and the benefits. And I won't go down the rabbit hole with you today, but there are some serious benefits to like actually walking around outside barefoot that you should check out. And I experienced just quick, like a lot of things with like inflammatory issues, and being outside really, really helps me with that. And I know people may think that that's crazy, but it really does work. And I can say that's my testimony. It does.
That's awesome. I'm glad you brought that up.
So I love a good feel good success story. Like, I love when the guests share. So can you share with us someone that you know that you've worked with where you had like a very great impact on their overall mental health and well-being? You watched them just take off with all the tools and resources you gave them.
Sure. And this is kind of an interesting situation because I'll share, because she's given me permission, my oldest daughter, her name is Andrea, and she's given me permission to share this story. So she is a teacher, and I love working with, I don't remember if I've told you this, but I love working with change makers, and especially women change makers who are trying to transform those systems in society that aren't functioning as well as they need to be. And she is in the field of education. She's a teacher. And teaching is very, very, very demanding because the students come in a lot of times with some of them with so many challenges, and they're all at different learning levels, and some act out because they just aren't getting what they need outside of school. Anyway, so I've heard her talk about those challenges, and my heart just goes out to her, and I know that she wants to change it. So a couple of years ago, and of course she gets lots of stuff from me because I always have her come and test things out. When I was first learning how to do forest therapy, I had her come and test that out and experience it. Well, she came to a retreat with me one time because I've really watched her struggle since she became a teacher. And there was another professional woman there. And I had her make an image because I knew she was really struggling. So I had her make an image. Then I helped her decipher it. And when she deciphered it, there was a picture of a heart, and it was like kind of a small heart, and it looked like it was kind of surrounded by a tornado, and there were all these lines coming out from it. I said, "Tell me about what that picture shows." And she said, "Oh, it's like my heart is just being pulled in so many different directions." And so we worked with the image. We actually did some stuff in nature too, because it was a full day thing. We did a lot. We used a lot of the different expressive modalities that day. And she realized at the end of the day that what she really needed was more support. And she thought about it, and she realized that she wasn't getting as much support as she needed in that system that she was in. She thought about, she was thinking about changing careers because she thought, I can't do this. It's just too much. But she'd spent so much time and money and energy invested in getting her degree that she thought, well, maybe it would be better in another system. So she found another system, and she has been working there for a couple of years. I asked her recently to tell me about, I said, I've been thinking about that image that you made. I said, can you tell me, like, what kind of changes have you seen? Have you seen improvements in the system? And she thought about it for a while, and she said, you know what? I have, because most classrooms, there are two reading groups. There's one for the kids that are kind of on level, and then there's a group for the ones that aren't quite learning, reading as well as the other ones. And she said that she was in a planning meeting with some of the administrators, and she said, I wish there could be four groups. And the administrator said, oh, well, let's see if we can make that happen. And so I thought, I was so excited when she told me that story, because I have been in systems and tried to change them from within, and it is not always easy. But I felt so excited that she had realized she needed more support. She went to a system where she found more support. She asked for what she needed. She had the courage to ask for what she needed. The administrator was responsive and gave her what she needed. And now she has more confidence in herself as a change maker, and more hope that the system can change. So that's just a really exciting success story for me, because it's like, that's what I'm so passionate about, is helping humanity transform these systems that aren't working. And my clients are doing the internal work that's necessary, and then they're waking up their hidden potential, and they're changing these systems.
And it's a bonus because it's your daughter.
Right.
It's really
Exactly.
nice. Like,
Right. And it's a
and
bonus for the students too, because reading is so crucial to everything. She said, when kids learn how to read, then they can read to learn, because reading is the foundation for so much, all the other subject areas.
So I want to talk about your retreat. All of this, everyone, was so I can build up to this question. Because now you've heard all this cool information and you're like, oh, wow, how can I do that too? How can I try that? Well, Tamara has a retreat and she's going to tell you all about it right now.
Right. One of the blessings of COVID was that I learned that retreats don't have to happen here, because some people might not be able to get to Colorado. So yes, I welcome people coming to the retreats. And when those happen, they're usually at least 6 hours. I'm building up to creating like a 2-day one. So I haven't done one yet, but that may happen yet this summer, because we don't have facilities here on site where people can stay overnight, but there's lots of B&Bs around. And so we spend all day, we get really clear about what people's intentions are. And then we co-create an experience that is going to help them explore whatever and usually there's a theme to a retreat. Like one of them that was really fun was, it was called Radiant Wild Women. So yeah, that was really fun. So we made these masks. They decorated these masks to represent just that. It's like the part of you that doesn't have to be a people pleaser. And the Radiant Wild Woman mask represented that. And then we just did movement and a bunch of other things to explore, like psychodrama, like what would that part say to me? And how does that part move? And all kinds of fun things like that. So it's a full day, or right now it's just a day. And sometimes we have a catered lunch, which is really fun. I know somebody who makes, we call them gourmet sack lunches, and they're really healthy and really fun. So those are really neat. So that's the on-site ones. The virtual ones are really fun too, because people could be all over the world. And what I do is we just get together on Zoom and I introduce whichever modality we're going to use. You know, I might say, go out in nature and find something that you're connected to and spend some time with it. You know, think and ask, maybe see how it relates to your issue, like maybe it's balance. And they go out and do that and they journal, maybe take their journal, and then they come back in and we talk about it. And it's really powerful to do it that way, to do virtual retreats. And then sometimes people just come for a one-on-one retreat, like a private retreat. And that's really fun because then we can make the whole experience just about one particular person and dive really deeply into whatever needs they have.
That's really cool. This is another thing that's so special and beautiful about you being here today. You are my first guest that has brought these kind of resources and tools to the listeners. Like, I'm so excited for my woo-woo squad who listens to me every week to have this because it's like it's a super, super beautiful thing. Yeah, I love this. So I have to ask you what I have dubbed the big show question, and that is, what does selective hearing mean to you?
Oh, I love that question. Well, selective hearing, you know, it could be with like when you're out and about in a busy place and you're trying not to be overwhelmed by everything that's happening around you. It could definitely be that. And I think of it in at my retreat center, we're right beside a really busy highway and the traffic sounds are very obvious and they're very loud sometimes. And selective hearing works really well because people have told me over and over again that when they're immersed in connection with nature, that fades away and they don't notice it anymore. So I think that's a really good metaphor for tuning out what doesn't serve us in the moment. Not that we're ignoring people, but you know, if somebody over there is fighting or getting sick or something, and we had that happen one time. It's like my daughter's like, I can never forget the sound of that. But you can learn how to tune things out and not let them impact you so much. Because if someone else is over there fighting and it's none of my concern, then I can send them love, but I don't need to still be taking on their stuff. I can just selectively choose not to listen to that and focus, or you know, focus on my heart or look at a bird or whatever. But because you can listen with more than just your ears, I feel like we can listen with our hearts as well.
Yeah, I agree with that so much. Oh, what a beautiful conversation this has
Thank you.
been. It has been my pleasure having you here and talking to you. Like, oh my gosh. So I want to ask you to share with the audience, like, how they can connect with you.
Okay, great. The best way to connect with me, well, two ways. You can go to my website, which is thewilddivine.us. That's one way. And they can also reach out to me at Mindful Tamara. That's with all A's, Tamara at gmail.com. So
Okay.
either way is great, a great way to get in touch with me.
And everyone, you heard that information, and I'm also going to give it to you again and again and again. So you're going to get it in the show details. You're going to get it on the resource page at selectivehearingshow.com. And then please make sure that you're following at Selective Hearing Show on all social media platforms, because every time I share a reel, I also share how you can talk to Tamara. So make sure that you're everywhere you need to be to grab this information and to just hold on tight to it and reach out to Tamara if you have any questions and let us know how you feel about this episode. So thank you so much for being here. I
You're
really
very
love this
welcome.
conversation.
You're welcome. And thank you for the beautiful work that you do. It was an honor and a privilege to be with you.
This is, oh, okay. Everybody, I'll be back next week. And until next time, this is Selective Hearing.